Hi, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones
and her adorable husband Sean Farrar.
Woo!
Thanks for hanging out with us as we give some
life tips
and real life marriage banter.
Let's get started now with a random thought.
Hey, it's a random thought in the office, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Sean Farrar.
You got that right, baby.
We were going to take this week off, honestly. Cause
I talked to him with my fucking crazy work ethic. I talked to him to go ahead and do with it, even though she's the one that's going to do all the work when we're done. She's a poor girl.
Baby, I already swore.
I know. I was hoping you didn't notice that, because I slid it in so smooth.
No, it wasn't smooth.
That was smooth.
Now we're going to get an explicit tag on this shit.
So what?
But in positive news, we no longer care. We're just going to swear up this whole fucking thing.
I love it.
So, hey.
Well, okay. You need this gummy bear foot.
He's lying. It's just a nice gummy bear. It has no pot in it. Anyway, it's welcome to our podcast where I, Carrie Jones, who's supposed to be a very motivating human who's a goody-goody,
super motivating,
is getting slammed on by my evil husband, pretending I'm eating edibles
to perform better in my life.
All right, anyway.
What do you got for me today, babe?
Well, boo, randomly I saw a tweet, right?
Yeah.
And this tweet was by a Republican from Louisiana. We just were in the South, but not sadly Louisiana, one of my favorite states. And sadly, we did not go there. However, Representative Clay Higgins from Louisiana put Louisiana back on the Twitter map this week because as we're recording this, the Russians have invaded Ukraine, right? And so Rep. Clay Higgins said in his brilliant tweet of brilliantness.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really feel like somebody needs to handle these people, like the old white guy Republicans, and not let them tweet anymore. Because no matter how you feel about our former president and no matter how you feel about Representative Clay Higgins, they don't make no sense.
That's right.
They don't make no sense. So he said, "You millennial leftists who never lived one day after nuclear threat." I was trying to make it better for him.
That's the point.
"Under nuclear threat can now reflect upon your woke sky." That was sentence number one of his tweet. And then sentence number two was, "You made quite a non-binary fuss to save the world from intercontinental ballistic tweets." What does that mean?
There's so much wrong with that tweet. Number one, aren't we millennials?
No, we're Gen Xers.
Oh.
But the thing is, millennials still were under a nuclear threat because that didn't stop until the end of the Cold War, which was 1989.
Right.
And millennials were born in like they're three or four, but they're still under the friggin' threat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But then he's saying you made quite a non-binary fuss. That whole last paragraph is Gen Z, not millennials.
Yeah. Yes. But what the hell is a woke sky?
I don't know. He doesn't know.
What is a woke sky?
Hell fuck he's talking about.
And what is an intercontinental ballistic tweet?
From dictionary.com.
So dictionary.com responded to his tweet and said, "We're not entirely sure what this tweet's supposed to mean. And we're literally the dictionary." And that kind of cracks me up. But it made me think of the 20 dumbest tweets, or all the dumb tweets. Like, all the times that everyone fails. And I fail all the time on my tweets, too. Like, yeah. I forget a word or whatever. But it just, when you're a political person or a celebrity, it's embarrassing. Like, you tweet something out and you don't spell checker it. Spell checker.
Is that a new one? I gotta check out spell checker. I've been with spell check. That must be like first generation, huh?
I feel like you're, yeah. I feel like you're, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so the thing is that companies and humans and non-humans, meaning bots, usually from Russia, they all have these really stupid-ass tweets.
Oh, is that what most of them are? They're not like real people.
No, well, like one real person programs it, and then it just becomes.
Well, I know that, but if it's automated, then they don't know shit.
Yeah. So, anyways, my point is.
What is your point, baby?
That we all need to be a little more chill and think about things before we tweet them, right?
Like, yeah, if you're gonna tweet, at least make it like socially readable.
Yeah, like
obviously it doesn't have to be perfect because that may not be the context or the culture.
But sometimes you just show you're dumb so hard. Like in this one from BuzzFeed, originally by somebody who's being blotted out because I guess it was too embarrassing. They said, quote, this was their tweet, menstruation is called period because back in the day when women's bodies weren't as polluted, all it was a time.
Really? Well, so the things you eat are having that great of an effect on your biological processes and getting rid of old eggs?
Yeah. And then there's another brilliant one that's, call me sexist or misogyn. Like misogyn. Misogynist. But I don't see how feminists don't like men. Or, you know, like, there, it's just like this other person tweeted an image of their own social security card with all its relevant information.
Yep.
And said, finally found my social security card. And then people were like, dude, take that down, take that down. People are going to, like, take your identity. And then they tweeted on the thread, how can y'all steal my identity if y'all don't look like me? It won't work.
Uh-huh. The same person that posted this is.
Yes. And that is why, honestly, human beings shouldn't be allowed to communicate on Twitter.
Oh.
It's too easy.
Social media in its entirety.
Hey, did you know that these people were shipping meth, which is an illegal drug for those of you who don't know.
Yeah.
And they hid it in a big shipment of onions.
No, I didn't know.
So all those meth heads are going to have onion-smelling meth if they hadn't gotten caught. Yeah, they caught this huge shipment of meth.
I don't think they would care.
They probably just thought they were smelling each other, honestly.
Probably.
Onion BO.
Wait, is there a point to this podcast?
I honestly don't know. We have a really good, intelligent thing all about habits and goals, but I feel like
that,
I feel like it's just too big a shift from the original part here.
What? Onion smelling meth?
Yeah. Hey, it's writing tip of the pod. Sean's too busy being mean to me to actually.
I wasn't being mean.
Hit his cue there.
Maybe I was just trying to suck on your toes.
All right, so anyways, this podcast, in which Sean doesn't think there's a point, is called, officially, To Hell With Your Goals, sort of.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, so a lot of people give up on things because they focus on their goals, or they just have a husband who doesn't support them. So maybe their goals...
That's not Carrie, by the way.
Maybe their goals...
Her husband is loving and supports everything she wants to do.
Ha. So their goal might be write 50,000 words by April. You know what? I feel like I need to just apologize for this podcast.
Why?
Because it's a train wreck right now.
It's not a train wreck.
It's a train wreck. All right. So, like, here. You're focused on your goal. Your goal might be, hey, write 50,000 words by April. Hey, lose 20 pounds before the wedding. Hey, have $100,000 in the bank by January.
Okay.
Goals are lovely. Goals are sexy. Goals work brilliantly for some people, but for some of us, goals are absolute bullshit.
What?
You know what? I know this, but I fall into the goal trap all the time. Like, if I don't lose 20 pounds and only lose 19.5, I feel like I failed. If I only write 49,998 words, I feel like I failed. And I'm not even going to talk about the money in the bank thing.
Hey, you know what? If you lose 19 and a half pounds, you should never consider yourself a failure.
That's not the point. That's because goals are all or nothing. You get them or you don't, right? But habits are an author's and a human's best friends.
Unless they're bad habits. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't shut down on me. Habits are amazing and good ones. They create other good ones, meaning good habits create other good habits.
They beget them, if you want to use biblical language, it's like good quick.
Habit beget habit. Habit beget habit.
I'm going to beget you. So Charles Duhigg wrote, The Power of Habit, Why Do We Do What We Do in Life and Business? And in it, he talks about keystone habits and how, if we understand habits, we can figure out how to kick ass, basically. So he wrote in an interview, and Sean's going to read this damn quote.
Take, for instance, a bad habit. I had of eating a cookie every afternoon. By how learning how to analyze my habit. Excuse me. By learning how to analyze my habit, I figured out that the reason I walked to the cafeteria each day wasn't because I was craving a chocolate chip cookie. It was because I was craving socialization. The company of talking to my colleagues while munching. That was the habit's real reward. And the cue for my behavior? M-dash. The trigger that caused me to automatically stand up and wander to the cafeteria was a certain time of day. So I reconstructed the habit. Now at about 3:30 each day, I absentmindedly stand up from my desk, look around for someone to talk with, and then gossip for about 10 minutes. I don't even think about it at this point. It's automatic. It's a habit. I haven't had a cookie in 6 months.
But he has done a lot of shit talking about other people, apparently.
Poor fucker, she's so, like eating cookies.
I know, seriously. So, anyways, as a writer, people always ask me how I'm so productive. And it's usually because I usually write every single day, and that's my habit. I was a much better artist and drawer when I drew every day, and I was a much healthier human when I exercised every day, and so on. Some habits have a really great rate of return, like lifting weights or walking, and some don't, like Sean. What's some habits that don't?
Oh, maybe binging Tiger King or American Pickers. Although you do learn a lot from those kinds of shows.
No, you really don't.
You do, so.
You learn Frank is Frankie with the other
Frank's done. Guy. Not show, man.
You learn, yeah. You learn.
Bad choice, Frank. Anyways.
It wasn't Frank's choice. He got kicked out.
He must have had a lot of food or something.
Whatever.
Oh, man.
All right, so anyways.
The key is to find the habits to help you towards your goal.
They call these habits keystone habits, which Lifehack defines as...
In literal terms, a keystone habit is in any small change or habit that has a domino effect in your life. You focus on adding the habit to one aspect of your life, but determination helps carry this habit to the other aspects of your life, too.
Each keystone habit, they say, has three main characteristics.
They lead to the development of other habits.
Two.
Every habit adopted from a keystone habit is positively affiliated with the keystone habit.
Three.
These habits are small and easy.
And continuing with that quote, let's take an example of a person who wants to improve the way he handles his emotions. He'll start by visiting a therapist who helps him understand what goes on in his mind. Sean could use that. Once he begins understanding his emotions himself, he'll want an outlet to release those thoughts. So let's say he starts journaling. Journaling helps him put out those emotions in a structured manner on paper. This will help him get better at communicating in their workplace. Two. Oh, they mixed up their pronouns as a copy editor. I totally want to fix that.
I know, maybe Chris too.
All right. But anyways, end of the quote. Working towards those goals.
In smaller increments. 30-day habit forming cycles. Is also pretty good.
It's pretty key.
Because it seems doable. And according to most research, those 30-day stints help us get the habit ingrained into our psyches.
So here's an example of some awesome habits that you can start doing. Cooking.
Fuck yeah. Making your own food is way healthier and way more rewarding. Yes, it takes time, but if you can do it, do it. There are some great sites with 15-minute dinners. That's less time than it takes to wait at McDonald's lately.
And we know that because we were just on a road trip with a child who has autism who cannot eat anything other than McDonald's, white rice, and white pasta. So, another example would be...
exercise.
Right? Like, it's a no-brainer, right? But you want to start slow and just do something easy every day for that first month and build from there. Another example...
reading.
Is...
seriously, step away from the screen.
Read.
Something in long form. filled your brain, at least through Wordle every day.
That, or Nerdle, my personal favorite. And then writing. Making your thoughts make sense, giving yourself some time with them is pretty golden. Or another habit would be?
Chilling with other folks.
Not your husband.
Yep. We have to remember how to interact in real life. Form those bonds.
And then finally,
meditating or praying.
She's a pro.
Spiritual connections and purpose really help people. I swear.
Even though he sounded like he didn't swear. He swears. So all those things, build good habits. Don't worry about your goals, but make the habits and the life choices that get you there.
Make good habits?
Hobbits. Make good hobbits.
Yeah, I'm a person, asshole.
No.
Really?
We're all out of time.
It's quick. It was the first example where the guy gave up eating cookies every day.
Yeah.
But he also gave up his walk to the cafeteria every day.
That is true.
So what, you know, he could have just given up cookies and still walk to the cafeteria.
Dude, don't think too critically about the self-help gurus.
Oh.
Jesus, be a sheep.
I'm not a sheep. Anyway, thanks for listening. The dogs are smarter than people. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share your heart out.
These podcasts and more are at my website, carriejonesbooks.blog.
There's even a little donation button there. Because even a dollar inspires a happy dancing carrot.
And Sean.
But hers are much better than mine.
His are funnier.
So thank you so much for your support.
The music you hear here is made available through the Creative Commons, and it's a bit of a shortened track.
Who is the artist and what's the song?
Well, it's Summer Spliff by Bird for Free.
I love that song.
He does.
Just because of the name.
He does.
Thanks for listening so much.